Welcome to Community Lutheran Church's podcast, Bridges of Belief, being God's present in a hurting world by accepting all people as we are created. Together we'll create a stronger community and a church renewed. I'm your host, Lee Trueheart. For this Bridges of Belief podcast, we're talking with Mari Sari, the council president, and Deb Whittle, the council vice president, with no H in her name. Let's start with these stories. We'll start with you, Mari. What led you to Community Lutheran Church, and how long have you been here? What led you to serve on the church council?
Well, thank you very much, Lee. I moved down here with my husband about in July, permanently, and we decided it was time for us to find a new church around here. We have been
lots of different places, both in our living situation and in our faith communities. My dad is a Presbyterian minister, so for the most of the part, I've been Presbyterian. I've also been to congregational churches and different churches like that. But the denomination wasn't the big deal for me. It was kind of the atmosphere and the people and the belief systems and how they worshiped and a lot of different things. Sure. So I was working in Frankfurt some, so I would drive by the church every day, and I saw a sign once on it, the rotating sign, and it said something like, Jesus welcomes the strangers. Oh, and yeah. I thought, that's kind of different from some of the churches I've seen around here. Yeah. So I went on the website, I saw Pastor Karis, and I decided to come visit and, dragged my husband there after that. And, we just have really enjoyed the people and really enjoyed Pastor Karis and getting to know the different ministries. And so that's how we're there. Yeah.
How did you come to be on the council?
How did I come to be on the council? There was a vacancy. And so Pastor Karis asked me to be on the council to fill this vacancy. And so I said, yes. And then she said, well, could you also be vice president? I'm like, okay. So I thought about that for a little. And then due situations in life and things like that, all of a sudden the presidency was vacant. And so I moved from that to there. So it was quite swift. Yes. And a little bit of a surprise, but it's a big learning curve, right?
Yeah, big learning.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Deb, what led you to be at Community Lutheran? How long you were here? You've been there. And what led you to be on the church council?
Okay. Thanks, Lee. So I've been in the area for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. So I had driven by the church plenty of times, and I was raised Lutheran, baptized into the Lutheran faith, and very, very, very busy in my faith growing up at the church constantly. And at some point in my adulthood, I had kind of just walked away. Life overcame. And it's been within the last couple of years that I realized how much I missed that sense of community. So I was looking for a sense of community, and I didn't really walk away from the way I live my life. I just didn't find a place that I practiced on a regular basis or was involved in a community. So I had been looking at the church as I drove by. And then actually my friend Ellen had met the pastor and said, hey, I'm going to go a couple times. I said, I'll go check it out. That's my cue to take some action. So I went and checked it out, and I really love the service. I love how welcoming it is for everybody. Mm-hmm. People are genuine.
Yeah.
So that was a sticking point for me. So I've been there probably a little over a year at this point. And active in some of the missions, particularly the food pantry. But at some point, I guess, when there were openings on the council and Mari stepped up from vice president to president, Pastor Karis is looking for somebody with some leadership skills to step in. And so I stepped in, and really we've been on a journey together ever since January, really, when we took office.
Yeah,
And big learning curve. Big learning curve.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, any new position is going to be a learning curve.
Right.
So in a sense, we both were on the council because you were asked by Pastor Karis, and no one says no to Pastor Karis.
That is true.
That's already been on another podcast.
So yes.
Like your podcast.
Right, exactly that.
That's how it came.
If you have an idea, you know, you must be willing to do it. That made no sense. When you think back to your first days in this role, what surprised you the most?
What surprised me the most?
Oh, that I was president. No. I don't know. I was thinking that, like I said, I come from a Presbyterian background, and I've been on what's called the session. That's their version of the church council. But the person who's in charge of the session is kind of more a clerk, you know, kind of, you know, keeps notes and, you know, keeps it, but the pastor is the one who's really, really in charge. And I think it's a little bit different structure here, mm-hmm. you know, and that the president and the vice president have a little bit more agency, you know, even though the pastor, you know, contributes a lot to it, you know, but then I thought that was just the different structure was kind of different for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anything surprise you?
No, I mean, it was just a lot to take in because really relatively new to the church, that church itself. So learning a little bit of background and where we've come from and kind of direction that was, targeted really before we even started. So trying to just catch up and pull all that together I would think it was surprising how much there was to learn. And it's been great. It's been a great experience.
And we're continuing to learn. I mean,
we are continuing to learn.
Yeah.
And I think we're at the point now where, I felt like I was following for a while because there was so much to learn. I think it's to the point now where Mari and, don't let me speak for yourself.
No, I think so.
Mari and I.
Speak for me. It's fine. No, I'm just kidding.
Mari and I are probably at a point where we feel more comfortable in a leader, more of a leadership role and direction. So, which is nice. It's nice to be able to know where we've come from, to know what direction we're headed, and then for us to figure out what steps we need to kind of push forward to make it happen. So. Yeah, it's been good.
Awesome. What makes Community Lutheran Church unique in your eyes?
I think we've sort of touched on a little bit how welcoming it is to everybody, you know, no matter your background, no matter your, you know, your sexual orientation, your, you know, age, anything like that. And I think that's very unique. You know, I think it sort of surprised me in the first couple of times I came I think it's the statement of faith that we read at the beginning, you know, I'm like, this is the most inclusive statement of faith I've ever seen, you know, and these people really believe it, I think. So, I think that's very special to me.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I think we've touched on it already. It's the fact that it's so welcoming. And there's plenty of opportunity there for people to give back in terms of, you know, participating in one of the many missions that we have out there. So it's rewarding. And I don't know that I've ever really experienced that in any of my previous, you know, dealings with a formal church. So.
Thanks.
Welcome to
What's your vision for the church? And not just structurally, obviously, because we're doing the reimagination team, but spiritually.
I don't know. I mean, it might sound kind of simple, but, you know, I just would love to, you know, see the church continue to be able to express God's love in the world. And I'd like people to keep on knowing that God loves them so much, you know, and I think you really feel that when you go mm-hmm. in there, because and you know, I would like to keep on thinking of different ways, you know, to build ourselves up so we can go out and, you know, serve others. Like Deb talked about, you know, there's just so many missions, you know, and so many different things, and it makes you feel useful and like you're following Jesus's path, you know, mm-hmm. you know, and things like that, which again, I haven't felt like that so much in another church before. So
right.
I just would like us to continue to do that, you know, and maybe in other places, you know, and, you know, we're talking about expanding to Rehoboth or different places, and so it can reach more people.
Right.
Yeah.
Good. How do you lead in a way that keeps faith at the center, even when the business side of the church gets loud?
Probably a good day to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the hardest part for me.
Go ahead.
Because sometimes, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, there's all this business to do, you know, and you know, things, you know, taking you here, taking you there, and things like that. And, you know, but wait a second, it should be about faith. It should be about God. It should be about, you know, our community, you know, and we want to have joy and things like that, you know. So, you know, I think, I don't know, having prayer a lot helps, you know, like at meetings, at different things. I think we also, as a council, we study things, you know, we study, you know, read articles and talk about them and things like that. Getting back to prayer, too, you know, like even be on the phone with pastor and she'll be like, can I pray with you? And I'm like, yes, yeah, you know, and that kind of helps it, even though we've just maybe talked about something really difficult business-wise, you know, she kind of leads that way and brings it back to that.
Yeah, she does. She does a good job of
that. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Anything to add?
Keeps faith at the center even when the business side of the church gets said. How do you even know what? Well, I think we do a fairly good job of that. But there's always this like balancing act between are we really keeping the faith and moving out into the community and reaching, doing some outreach, or are we so focused inward that we aren't really getting our message and our help out there. So I think that's something that we struggle with mm-hmm. a little bit. We know that the purpose really is to do more outreach. And so business side trying to make that happen, sometimes we just need to keep focusing on that, and it's not always easy. Yeah.
And so with the upcoming stuff that, you know, yes, Pastor Karis is not going anywhere. We're going to put that right out there. But with getting another pastor in to mm-hmm. do that, will that be on the helpful side of what you're talking about?
Extremely, yeah. Depending on who we get in, I mean, I think we have a great candidate coming. And so we're hopeful that, you know, that this period that we're going to have with her is going to be fruitful for both of us, so that that we decide to call her and that she answers that call.
Sure.
This particular candidate has some, I think, some unique skills and some special abilities, and seems to network with different groups and agencies now where she currently is, and I think that will help drive things. And then simply having more people doing that, sure. driving that, or focused on that will help all of us. So
fast growing, that it's important to get some more and different perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that is part of the challenge of the business side mm-hmm. is as a small congregation they could do things much more antiquated methods worked, mm-hmm. whereas now as a bigger church, growing congregation, more communication lines, etc., that's mm-hmm. that's a challenge. So we have got to switch gears and kind of bring ourselves into this century and automate some things and so we're making some great progress on the business side. But that everything on the business side is so that we can do the spiritual growth and spiritual outreach.
You have that time if you automate more.
Correct.
Or make it easier. Right. Smarter, not harder.
Make it easier, whether it's not us necessarily doing the outreach missions are, we're facilitating making it easier for them to do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. What's something the average church member might not realize about what the council actually does?
I mean, I kind of touched on it before. I mean, I think we try to not get so bogged down in the business of things all the time. And we do discuss things, you know, we have readings. We've looked at different books on progressive churches. And the whole thing you were talking about, we were going from, you know, a small church to a medium church. We've been kind of studying that and the implications of that. And I think people might think we just do business, but I think Pastor Karis is trying to get us kind of thinking bigger picture.
Strategically.
Strategically. Yeah. And letting the, like, minutiae, you know, to go to the different teams.
The team leaders lead, you know, with input, direction, some guidance from the council. We are looking. And we're getting to that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was, like I said, we had a huge learning curve. We're getting that point where strategically we are it's getting better in conversation. So more focused on that. Yeah,
that's good.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I had no idea myself.
I know. And you're not.
Pastor Karis, I think you want to be on.
Yeah.
Describe a moment when the council faced a challenge and how did you work through it or did the council work through it?
Since I've been on, I don't know that there have been any major challenges. I haven't felt like there have been major challenges. And when we think that there's a direction that we need to go, you know, the executive group thinks, okay, this is something we need to do. I think we do a fairly good job of presenting it to the rest of council. Yeah, so I don't think it's been anything huge. I mean, there may be some huge things in the future.
Right,
sure.
I don't feel kind of overly...
Right. I mean, I was thinking the same thing I was talking about. Maybe the biggest challenge is moving from the smaller church to the medium-sized church and trying to see how we can educate the congregation on that, how things might have to function a little differently.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and that's like an everyday
thing.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can learn it. It's a learning process.
It is.
Not only for us, but for the team leads and,
sure.
It's a learning process.
Well, it's also good to let people know that there hasn't been such a major challenge or whatever. It kind of makes it nicely known that, hey, things are working the way they're supposed to work.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Pastor Karis and the previous councils have faced bigger challenges than we are right now, know, and, you know, just growing the church and things like that. But I think we're at a good point where there's good momentum.
We've got exactly.
Yeah. We kind of join at the right time.
The wheels are rolling. Yeah. Actually, they were rolling a little fast for us at first. But we've caught up.
We were chasing. It
always seems that. I think just, if you've changed jobs throughout your lifetime, you see that happening. Definitely. Think back, you know, it was a little scary getting into it or whatever, but as it went along, then it was kind of like easy beasy, you know, type of thing. So, what's one way you wish more members would get involved or speak up?
One way.
Or, however, I just say one.
One way.
Because if you had 10, we might not have 10.
I don't have time for 10. I don't know. I guess I don't know. I kind of struggle with this a little bit. Sometimes it seems quiet to me. And that's either a good sign because everything's going well, or it's a bad sign because people don't feel like they can speak up. So to me, it's almost a little... too quiet.
Are you talking about the council?
I'm talking about
or just
in general. Council. Increased discussion at council by all the members, but also inside the congregation. How do we make them feel like they have a voice? Mm-hmm. How does their voice get to it? So, yeah, right. I don't know how we do that. There's a suggestion box in there, but...
We have a few surveys.
Surveys, but the surveys have... Yeah, and that's going to help.
Yeah,
That's mostly about the reimagination and facilities, but it's still their voice. So I think that's been good. Mm-hmm. We have to do something with it.
Right.
We're moving to... Right. It's got a lot going on, trying to get everything accomplished at the same time. So, but...
Yeah, I think... We had the other survey, you know, the time and talent, to see what ministries people were interested in, you know, so hopefully people would speak up that way, you know.
Well, we had a good small group come out of it.
That's been great, too. The small groups have been great for giving people more access and voices to be heard, so that's been wonderful. And, you know, we do announcements and ask for people to stand up, speak, participate, etc. Yeah.
How do you make sure that, on that same note, the quieter minority gets, you know, that they can actually speak up? How do you encourage that? How would you encourage that? I know that's probably a hard one.
That is hard because, I would consider myself a quieter, kind of more introspective person, you know, so sometimes I have a hard time finding my own voice.
I can close my eyes.
You don't think I'm... sometimes, but I don't know, like I had this discussion with Pastor the other day that there are some people who are more introspective and they process things differently and might need longer kind of time to kind of, you know,
to just to give space for that and not feeling like there has to be active discussion, you know, all the time, you know, but some people might be like thinking about it and waiting for a chance. And I think if we encourage that, you know, that might be helpful.
Actually helpful. And I think that on a more active method is that we need to, you and I and members of council need to make sure that we are walking up to people and talking to people that we don't know or don't know very well, or that helps, because it makes them feel a part of it, even if they aren't comfortable for actually stepping, you know, forward. Sure. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think that helps.
Yeah.
I know that's how we met Pastor Karis, was at a Milton Pride.
Mm-hmm.
She walked right up to us, and I wouldn't have walked up to any of them.
So
she's very talented with that.
Yeah,
it takes more than her.
Sure,
and
sure.
I think as leaders, council members, team leaders even, you know, reach out, walk up to people that you don't know very well, and, you know, say, hey, have a good week, or just acknowledgement sometimes will help voices get louder.
Absolutely.
And always make them feel welcome.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a big part. How does the church council help shape the culture of the church, not just the policies, but that feel of it? On the whole, the council on the whole, not just...
Yeah, I mean, I think what Deb was just saying, you know, if we made a concerted effort to kind of be out there more and more... you know, reaching out to people, you know, making sure that everyone feels welcome, and, you know, telling them, you know, if they have questions or anything like that, you know, I think that helps the overall feel of the church, you know.
So the feel and the culture you're kind of putting towards the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
And that's good. I just was curious to make sure that I was understanding which way you were. Mm-hmm. Because culture can be a lot of different things.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, I think the church council before us did a lot of work in shaping the culture.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So I don't know that we've had to actually do a lot of shaping in our term. But the culture, you know, was, I think the previous council did a lot of work.
Yeah.
At least from, you know, what I've seen. Mm. I think we have a a very good culture there at the church, very welcoming. The statement every mm-hmm. Sunday that we mm-hmm. speak aloud. I think banners and some of the things that we have hanging are indicators of our culture. And I think that it's just something you have to continually focus on, that everybody's culture, since a lot of us come from different backgrounds, faith sure. backgrounds, all kinds of different backgrounds, human backgrounds, raised differently. Culture is hard because everybody's culture is a little bit different. Exactly. And so it's really about just accepting absolutely. Everyone's culture and making them welcome and not stepping on culture.
Sure.
Which sometimes is hard.
Right.
It's hard to right. know. So right. sometimes right. it's done accidentally, but mm-hmm. I think we were given a pretty good path and good. I think we're doing a fairly good job here.
So as the church grows, that's going to be a very
it's
good focus, yeah. but it's going to be very necessary and right. very essential to mm-hmm. getting bigger and not forming the cliques or the whatever
right.
that it can always start. Right. This person over here, that type of thing. So
right.
I've mm-hmm. seen that in bigger churches.
So. Yeah, but it's like growing too. You're not going to be able to know everyone, super personally. You have to kind of know that, but to provide places where people can, get to know each other, like the small groups.
Yeah, small groups are
very, very important. It's something you need to keep up.
I'm going to pass on to another portion of this, but I'm going to combine two questions here. What's been the most meaningful moment in your leadership so far, and you being a leader with the council and the church, and what gives you hope for the future of this church?
Meaningful moment in leadership.
I don't know. I mean, I know for us, we're both involved in the leadership of the ESL group mm-hmm. and just the relationships that we've formed with the people, yeah. And they've given us so much, mm-hmm. Sure, we're trying to help them, learn English, but they've shared so much of their lives with us, mm-hmm. And that's been super meaningful for, I think, us, and that is a very new ministry, but it's not maybe growing as fast as we thought, but the people who are dedicated, it's just been super exciting. I don't know.
Yeah. And you lead that with Jen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. on that. Yeah. 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 But and I think there are several ministries there that are very rewarding, and then I get great joy out of the ESL. It just fills my heart. Mm-hmm. I don't make food pantry every week, but that fills my heart hugely. And I try to fill their hearts as I'm shopping.
She deserves a good job. She's a great shopper.
So I try to fill their hearts,
and then she gets them to come to ESL.
But from a leadership standpoint, rewarding. It's I don't know. Rewarding.
It's think busy. It's what you've already done.
Well, really, the first couple of months, it was us catching up. I don't think we've done a lot.
Right, right.
I think I can feel, what was the question, meaningful? I feel proud or that I was able to help with DEMA in the grant in terms of moving that forward, because that had stagnated. So mm-hmm. that was a very meaningful piece of, from a leadership standpoint, helping the DEMA grant person and the facilities person and the security person get together and at least move a phase of that project forward. So to the point where it's almost at completion. Mm-hmm. And so that, I think, was meaningful. It will help the church
tremendously.
And
it's a long time coming.
It's a long
time. And Deb really got all the pieces together.
From a leadership role, I tried not to take over. I was trying to get the different people to make decisions, etc., for getting the system after it was all done and in. It's been just trying to get the system up and running, and that really takes it again has been involved with facilities and and others, but I did take a big role on that along with Randy and Paul's input to help. So
that's a big one.
That was meaningful.
Yeah,
it is big.
It was rewarding. So
that's awesome. Do you have anything that you want to add on to that, or for yourself, or whatever? That
not really. Okay. I guess so. Yeah.
Well, no. I mean,
well, it's different. You know.
You're right.
Leadership. She leads herself, so she can claim that leadership. I had no leadership role in that. I was able to, on both of those other ones, just have fun. And
So future thinking about ESL. You know, with the political climate of today or whatever, what is your hope, or what gives you hope for the future of this?
For that program, I think we were quite fearful at first a little bit because we were starting it at a time in this political situation, and we were kind of trying to monitor that, you know, but the people who came, they would discuss their fears also, you know, as they found a place where they can feel safe and feel comfortable. And, we just hope to build on that. And I think a lot of that's word of mouth in the community, you know, like I said, I know there's still some trepidation about gathering in groups sometimes, you know, but I think we've created a space where they feel very welcome, you know, and they've kind of imparted that to other people. And, you know, it's still not happening yet, but two of our members are a member of another church that may be using our facility in the future. Right. And we hope to open up and maybe form some more relationships that way too. Mm-hmm. You know, and that gives me hope. Yeah.
It really is exciting that we can do that. Mm-hmm. And they would come to us and ask that. So that's that is a hope for the future, that they see us more inclusively, even if that, you know, if they don't participate in our service, they have theirs,
right?
But it's inclusive in that using our facilities, and that's kind of what the reimagination team is doing, right?
Right, right.
Making it the community's
church, right. Yeah.
Not our church.
Community of the church. It's community,
right? Yeah.
Of the
it's
area.
It's the people's
people
church.
If you could pass on one piece of wisdom to the next council leaders, what would it be?
Be ready for anything, I guess.
I mean, pretty much.
Ask questions. I think we were very, very lucky to have a past president, Frank, and Earl, who is, you know, very wise in his experience in different churches, you know. Find people who can mentor you, you know, and I think that would be good advice.
Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah, we've been lucky that they have stayed involved and to walk us through, you know, particularly as things from the past. It's hard when you're stepping into something and don't really know what's happened totally in the past. So that's been helpful. And if we don't understand something, we've got many outlets to go back to. And so that would be the same, you know.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm going to go back a little bit to you individually, in a sense. When you're not wearing the council hat, how do you spiritually recharge?
I'll go first. I spiritually charge daily as often as I can. And it's mostly daily in this room.
I could see this room so peaceful.
Yes. Sitting in that chair that rocks, swivels, and has a footrest, and drink my coffee, and I am usually reading a book, whether or not it's a book that the pastor has recommended to counsel or one that I've kind of just been exploring, you know, on my own, but, you know, related to related to Christ and how we can follow in his suit and care about the greater good, the greater people, and bring that life and message. So I that's what I do in the morning, is coffee, read, sometimes read and go to the Bible and look up verses that, you know, are referenced, and that's how I do it. I need quiet time. I may appear to be an extrovert. I am not an extrovert. I am an introvert, and I need my quiet time. Hence, I have my space here.
It's lovely space. Yeah, similar. Yeah, I do need my quiet time too. And, you know, I'm really into meditation and different breathing exercises. I think it really helps me and kind of centers me and focuses me. And I usually read the daily Richard Rohr meditation. I just really like it because it's so ecumenical from different perspectives, even outside of, you know, faith traditions.
And, absolutely. You know,
features lots of different types of people from all different walks of life, you know, and I think the theme this year is being salt and light of the world. So,
nice.
You know, it kind of grounds me a little bit. So,
yeah.
So much the be still and know. So, you know, there's a parable, the fact of this younger priest asked the elder priest, can you smoke and pray? I mean, pray while you smoke while you're praying. The senior said no. Later, he walked up and the senior was smoking in a prayer mode. He goes, I thought you said no. And he goes, I didn't say that you couldn't pray while you're smoking. So it's a thought process of how you spiritually recharge. So in a prayerful way, you can do a lot of different things. That's cool. What's your prayer for this congregation as it grows in the church?
I pray every day for the church and the congregation and the pastors and, you know, the leaders, you know, just to give them strength. I pray that we can, while we're growing, you know, keep lines of communication open.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the big thing. And I think we're doing some things to work on that a little bit, you know, so everybody feels like they understand what's going on.
Right.
I pray, you know, that we can be a support for each other in times of need, you know. It's just a great place to be. And, you know, and I just pray it continues. And, you know, I know there's obstacles along the way, but, you know, I think through prayer we can get through a lot of them. So.
Oh yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
What is one thing that you hope that the listeners will take away from this?
One thing. Wow.
One thing. Come join our community. No, if you're not part of it. No.
Yeah.
Check us out.
There's so much I think that they can learn. I mean, there's just that. I mean, you just reflected on how to be spiritual in so many ways. It's so different from the church itself. But I can tell you, so they can take that away. That there are so many ways to do that.
Right.
But that there's a community that's available, that's very welcoming and supportive and allows plenty of opportunity for you to, you know, walk as Jesus did and carry that message forward. I think, yeah, that's it.
That's awesome. You know, we've discussed a lot today on the leadership, the vision, who we are as a community, as a church, and what lies ahead, hopefully on the positive side for a lot of political environment. But before I close this session, is there any words of wisdom and encouragement you would like to impart to any, in any way? You know, like your last hurrah.
Last hurrah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, that worries me a little bit. What's next?
I know. I don't know. I was listening on the way to church this morning. Carrie Newcomer is a really someone I really like to listen to. She, you know, I don't know, but she has a song called "Within 3 Feet or So." Like, I can't change the world, but I can change the world I know within 3 feet or so. So, like, you can't do everything. We can't do everything, but we can be people, you know, who can change our, you know,
within our reach.
Yeah. Sure. So I thought that was, I was like, oh, yeah.
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 That's kind of what the ministries do.
Yes.
Within their reach.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do what you can, keep the main thing, the main thing, which was what the pastor was talking about.
Right. So. Definitely.
So, awesome. Words of wisdom.
Just be kind to everything.
Yeah.
That 3 feet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Kindness.
I think people can really, you know, change that. If you keep that in mind, mm-hmm. it can change a lot of things. Yeah.
I invite you to come visit us, join an event, share the podcast. If you've been searching for a place where you belong, we'd love to welcome you to our worship with us at Community Lutheran Church, 30897 Omar Road in Frankfurt, or you can find us online, https://bridgebuilder.church. And whether it's in person, online for the 8:45 or 10:30 service with a small group or just a cup of coffee, there's a spot for you here. And we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you for joining us. And even though I said episode incorrectly.
Episode.
I didn't know what you said.
Well, join us on the next.
I was like, what's happening next?
Good job, Lee.
Yeah, wonderful.